Time for another DoNotGood.com video presentation. Yeah. What happened to the image?
Bag of chips.
There it is. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Anyway, so Sabim Hassenfelder, who's a physicist, sort of an ex-physicist, frankly. She was into the real nuclear accelerator kind of stuff, and then she found that was less than fulfilling for whatever reason. Wrote a book called Lost in Math. I guess the accusation was, the physics is too abstract. So now she still makes some physics videos that have something to do with science, but yeah, most of it is kind of not related to anything elemental, frankly. But anyway, social commentary sort of things. So mixing of the philosophy and the science stuff, which seems inevitable. I mean, philosophy sort of is, you could say, the general word, and science is the more specific. Or you could say that it's all the process of logically putting together what we see in the experiments, and using your imagination to figure out how it might work. All right, so on these social issues, I mean, a trick I use, right, is just to imagine if the entire bulk of humanity was me, my clones. So if I was in all these positions in the world, and it was just me, but yeah, a version of me that was really dumb because it didn't go to school, or a version of me that's this or me, but it's all me, okay? And so that makes it easier to appreciate that it's just brains in bodies, and they're doing things for not very good reasons most of the time if it's the wrong thing, and all that. You can, it's an easy trick to appreciate that it's all just some kind of silly circumstance, and the circumstance should have never existed, and blah, 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 blah. Should have never happened. All the bad stuff. It's all preventable in some sense or another. It's all predictable. That's what science says. And the bottom line is it's easier to understand for me personally how I wouldn't want to be paying all the negative prices. So I know if it was me that was in the bad circumstance and all the clones were in all the good circumstances, I would appreciate the fact that, yes, this is a bad deal. I'm getting ripped off. Fuck this. So anyway, so she's doing a video on whatever, something called long-termism. Now, I went and searched on the subject, and it's not all that popular, frankly, and this is some sort of Muskyism. He can say something, and people pay attention to the retarded shit he says. And, in my opinion, Musk isn't any more intelligent than Trump, okay? There's another guy who pretty much inherited it. His brother really made the money, and it's racket money. It's not like they invented or cured cancer or something and made a fortune. It's PayPal money. It's bullshit money. And he just creates a bunch of bullshit companies that he gets a bunch of morons to invest in some prospect that in the future they're actually going to make money. So it's sort of like the Amazon racket. Now, Amazon might not seem in hindsight like a racket, but that's all it ever was a racket. It'll never make money, okay? It's been hugely expensive in the sense of what we've had to socially pay for something not only becoming a monopoly, but a real exploitative monopoly in the sense it's allowed to do all the things that nobody else in business is allowed to do. It's a Google scheme, give it away for free, drive everyone else out of business, and then take the territory. I mean, we're just reliving stupid history, people are just too stupid to say, hey, we shouldn't make the same mistakes over and over again. So it's like the stock market. It's all inflated debt money. So, just as happened in 1929. What happened in 1929? Everybody figured out that they owe zillions of dollars on their credit card, and it was figured out that people really can't pay a zillion dollars. So it doesn't work. Everybody can't have everything and buy it on time and never pay for it. That doesn't really work. We're doing the same thing again. We're spending money we don't have, the futures, welfare, so to speak, and create a bunch of zillionaires who just piss it all away. And somehow everybody thinks that's a great system. No, it's really dumb. So it's inevitably going to crash. I mean, I've tried to point out that there's no FDIC insurance. I mean, nobody's saying it, but I'm telling you, I don't want to say the word trust me, but you can go to the fucking webpage and find out. All right. I mean, there's no FDIC insurance. There's like $8 trillion insured with $100 billion. So how long do you think $100 billion is going to last, okay, when there's a crash? And everybody wants their insured money. How long do you think $100 billion is going to last when $7 trillion worth of people are saying, give me my money, give me my money? And what are they going to have to do when they don't have the money? Well, they're going to have to print it. And what's going to happen when they print it? It's going to go, inflation is going to go sky high. And so you're not going to get paid back with money that's worth anything. I mean, I shouldn't have to explain this shit. Anyway, I mean, I shouldn't be the only one pointing it out. That the whole thing is a scam, okay? Oh, shit. Anyway, all right, so Sabine Hossenfelder has made a video on something called long-termism, right? So, I mean, this is the disgusting part of this, is that, in the last year or so, I've sort of emphasized the point that the future is bigger than the present, and our obligation, like good birds, is to keep... It's like the nest that we're laying eggs in is permanent, okay? I think eagles do this to some extent. It's a nest you come back to, you fix it up every year you use, it's a legacy. Okay, so that's what we're part of, is a legacy. And it's like, you don't want to put dioxin in the nest. It's like polluting the Great Lakes or something. If you have some system that cleans your water, you don't want to break the system that cleans the water. You want to make the system better. The condo thing, the timeshare. You don't want to go to the timeshare and degrade the value of your own timeshare. You want to leave it as good as or better than you got it. And the same thing is true for our existence here. It's kind of obvious that we are the nest that the future has to live in. We're the environment the future has to live in. And, we're making it. And it just is logical, again, if you think of the future as being yourself, that yourself would look back and say, God damn, what a pig you were. I have to spend a fortune to clean this place up. I mean, I have to go to work 12 hours a day instead of 8 hours a day because you decided to piss in it. You couldn't make it to the toilet. I mean, fuck you. I mean, obviously you'd have good reason to hate your previous self for being a complete asshole. I mean, you have to be some, technically advanced intelligence to figure this shit out? Come on. Don't lay eggs in shit? I mean, fuck. But anyway, so they're turning something that's obvious and rational, which is the future is in fact bigger than we are. There's more people going to live in the nest in the future than are living in it now. That's a fact. And who really cares about the history? But you can't do anything about that. So it's just you and a nest. And the question is, how much of the nest do you degrade or eat? Okay, in terms of passing it on to the future. And you know, that seems a pretty sensible question. So, yeah, we all should be long-termist, and that we all should know that I should do whatever I can if it's, you know, not terribly, and, you know, if I don't have to go into slavery to do it, you know, not to fuck the future and force them to clean up a mess, you know, where I let the termites eat the house. Something really stupid. I mean, something that costs $5 to prevent, and I wouldn't spend the $5, and now the termites ate the house, and they have to rebuild the whole thing. I mean, I shouldn't let that kind of shit happen. Duh. So, anyway, so she turned something logical, sensible. I guess, why does it keep doing that?
Have you ever...
So I took the video out of the browser just to kill the commercials. But she has commercials in her video, which is, you know, just, these people really aren't on the right side anyway. I mean, they're really not motivated by the right kind of process, you know, where they think it's a good idea to have commercials on science videos. You know, and they have so little confidence in their audience, you know, so little respect for their audience, that they can't just put up a donate button and say, come on, do the right thing. I have to make a living, you know, it'd be nice if you supported me. No, they can't just do that. They have to sit there and pretend, oh, here's a friendly corporation that's not really just stealing most of your money. You know, it's not ripping you off. Because I say so. Because they paid me to say so. I mean, it's so, you know. So you can do logic really well and you're really smart, but you can't figure that one out? That, you know, you're just basically spitting and pissing on your audience by saying, I can't earn this money in an honest way. I have to do this commercial shysterism. So, I mean, my response is, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, that's not logical. Sorry, you're not on the right side. All right, so anyway, back to the subject. So the whole video is a waste of time, but she doesn't really, you know, it's all just meme-isms and, you know, gimmickly little phrases and, you know, blah, 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 little joke, blah, blah, blah. And doesn't take any of the substance seriously. And she's basically arguing that, oh, don't inconvenience me for the future. I don't have any obligation to them. Now, there's an actual line, a quote, where she says something like, the future says I owe them something. Let them send me an invoice. You know, and this is in the context of we're actually living in a world, you know, where complete morons are elected president on both sides of the political spectrum. People with shit, fucking goddamn, you know, I mean, dirty as hell. And it's okay. You know, just obviously people who really shouldn't be in this position. You know, because they really can't live by what they say. You know, everything about our culture is demonstrating, you know, this squandering of resources, insane waste, you know, the whole immigrant thing, all this bullshit, because what? Well, because we don't have real Social Security numbers. Why? Oh, because people don't really want to be accountable, and they really do want to exploit foreigners and all that kind of crap, because there's no other good reason. Clearly, we can have a society where, you know, you have to be a citizen and all that kind of crap, and, you know, or you're just not going to have any benefits or any privileges or any kind of life, and therefore you're not going to be running to get here, you know, unless you're going to go through the right process, because as a non-citizen, you're really not going to be able to function. But anyway, I mean, you know, we could fix it easy. And it's not fixed. So there's a ton of those things. Easy to fix, not fixed. And, you know, and then the whole living on the future's money kind of idea and all the rest of that crap. You know, what is there to defend about the present? There's nothing. There's nothing we're doing, okay, that demonstrates any kind of thoughtfulness about even the welfare of each other, let alone the welfare of the future. Right. So should we even place this shit? Well, I guess that's the way to do the video. But, all right. So I'm just saying, I mean, I'm not going to, I certainly wouldn't label myself a long-termist now, but it would almost seem like it would be reasonable rhetoric, you know, yesterday, before I knew this was some sort of Muskyism. You could just go on and on about this moron. I mean, just the idea of a high-speed train. What about that has any vision of the future? So he's doing two things, like, let's go to Mars and high-speed trains. What future would a high-speed train have? You know, in the sense that why would anyone really need to get anywhere, you know, 2 hours faster? Why? How could that possibly make a difference? What possible reason would there be to get somewhere 2 hours quicker? Who's, you know, I'm just saying, and then he owns something like Twitter, which is, you know, this communication technology, and he's going to expand it, of course, and turn it into a PayPal thing and all that kind of thing. He's just going to do all the rackets. But I just mean, you can do this direct video thing. Why would anybody actually need to go somewhere? I mean, technically, you could argue, unless you're going to visit your mother, what the fuck would any person actually, for business reason, need to actually go somewhere when they can basically go there by just clicking a button on their computer and seeing exactly what something, you know, oh, there's a pile of vomit in the hallway. There's a picture of it. How do we clean it up? I mean, what exactly would somebody need to actually go someplace to do something when somebody else can do it? A robot can do it, for fuck's sake. They can do it, you know, they can do it on the computer. We're bombing people in other countries from basements in, like, Arizona. What the fuck? Why would we need a high-speed transport? You know, that's not the future. That's a dead end. The future will have no use for that. Oh, it's just too stupid. And then transporting people to another planet? Why the fuck would we transport them? Well, it only costs $3,768,478 to transport one. Well, you can make one for, what, 75 cents? I mean, it may be less. And what's the future going to do? Yeah, the future's not even going to need human beings to make human beings. We know that. I mean, replacing uteruses is not beyond our future capacity. So we're not even going to do this human-making-human thing. It's just, you know, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's all a psychological game anyway. So if I can make your brain happy by, you know, plugging in, you know, old black and white movies, and you're perfectly satisfied, why would I bother doing anything else? So why don't we just reduce the game to something simple like checkers and just let you play infinite checkers for an infinite amount of time and, you know, an infinite delusion, because that's all you're doing here. You're just running a little soap opera. You're just redundantly playing baseball, the same stupid game. Let's videotape it. Let's watch it. Oh, but we have to have a new game tomorrow. Yeah, what the fuck? Why? Why do you have to have a new Adventures of Silly People wasting preposterous resources playing a stupid, fucking useless, crappy, garbage game? Why? Because it's a soap opera. You just need some kind of adventure story to play in. And clearly, video games do all that now, so fuck it. Just plug yourself all in, all right? Live out your silly delusion. Or else, be a real person and realize, oh shit, there's just no future in any of this. This isn't useful. Life on Earth is just bugs. It's a bug planet. It'll never be any other kind of planet. There's no other kind of planet to have except a bug planet. There's no other way it works. It doesn't turn into anything else. There's nothing else to make out of this shit but sandcastles. Who the fuck needs sandcastles? Ah, nothing. Nothing in the universe needs sandcastles, so quit making them. Especially when you're torturing shit to do it. Oh, fuck. Anyway, all right, so I got, you know, we'll play this shit. So the other video she has is one where the Muskites apparently think there's too few people in the universe, the world, because, you know, so they need more fodder, you know, to create their future. And that also doesn't make any sense, in the sense that, you know, the more people recklessly produce human beings, they don't produce useful ones. They produce ones that are, in fact, pissing, you know, and letting termites eat the nest and all that kind of crap. They're very bad guardians of the resources. And, you know, that's your probability that they're going to burn down more of your civilization than they're going to build. But whatever. All right, so we'll play some of this crap. I probably should make sure the settings are correct, so I'll go do that. All right, this should be somewhere close to adequate.
Put away a bag of chips because they say it isn't healthy.
Okay, well, whatever they say. So again, even things like this are mockable somehow. That obviously, if the rest of the world was my clones and they were all fucking way overweight and a mess, I think it would be sensible for me to say, oh, come on, you don't really have to do that shit. Get over yourself and your bad habits and fix it. And certainly the real game is figuring out ahead of time that you should be able to detect when you're out of control, you know, and say, yeah, I'm going the wrong direction, and I got to fix that. So, I mean, you know, some of this stuff should never, you know, people should never be in the position of being 600 pounds and saying, oh, I have to lose 400 pounds, well, 500 pounds. No. Should have never got there.
Makes sense. Have you ever put away a bag of chips because you want to increase your chances of having more...
All right, so whatever this mush is, like somehow only healthy people have kids. What a joke. Hilarious. Your probability of having kids is just be fat and stupid. That's not, you have the higher probability. All right, the more bad habits you have, the more likely you probably are to have children, because having children is a bad habit. Ironically, yes, it's like you're really, really stupid. It's not like you're just doing cocaine, you're doing heroin, you know. I mean, it's the stupidest of the drugs. It's the one where you say, what moron said, I'll play that game? Even though every single person who played the game is dead or, you know, mongoloid. What the fuck? So... You know, again, just this is just jargon, you know, little quippyisms for the little douchebag audience.
Children, so we can populate the entire galaxy in a billion years?
Yes, well, obviously, whether you're populating the whole galaxy or you're just populating Earth, you still have to have a good reason to do it. And do you have any good reasons? Did you have kids for any good reason except to satisfy your own little ego issues? Your own little ambitions and your own little silly contrivance of a mission statement of some kind? And if it all went to hell and one of them was a fucking mutant, you know, are you going to want to pay for it? Or you say to the state, oh, please clean up my mess. Yes, people go to work to clean up the mess I made. I need special yellow buses for my child, and they have to have handy, capable people to clean up their slobber, and they have to have this, and they have to have that, and you need to pay for it. You need to clean up my mess. You didn't think of any of that crap. You didn't do any of that shit. And you're sitting here pretending you know what breeding is and how you do it responsibly when you didn't do any of that, and you know the average dope isn't doing any of that, and you're defending it for some reason? Well, besides what reason are you defending it? Oh, why? Because you did the same fucking thing, and that's the only reason why you're defending it. You're a shoplifter, so you're going to defend shoplifting. Fuck you.
That makes you a long-termist.
All right, so if you want to populate the galaxy, it doesn't make you a long-termist. Recognizing that the future is bigger than the present, just is, okay? All it has to last is like 300 years to be 300 times more people than are going to be in your generation. Your lifetime, you know, gets eclipsed in just that, whatever, 80 to 100 years, the end. And really, your life is, you know, as I have learning, your life is over at like 65. I mean, come on, it sucks getting old. Just the biggest lie ever, golden year shit. I don't even know how people, you know, I don't even know how they survive to even get their Social Security checks. Because by the time you get it, you're like, fuck this. You know, fuck it. What am I going to go do? Yes, I'll go put my folding chair on a pier and go fishing. I mean, that's what my father did. Fuck that.
Long-termism is a currently popular philosophy among rich people like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel.
Okay, so obviously among rich people. No, I would argue the kernel of the philosophy is among anyone who can do 2 + 2 kind of logic to recognize that, yeah, just like I owe my neighbor some civility, I owe the future some civility. I need to respect that they have to, you know, they need their to go to sleep, and I can't make a whole bunch of noise at 6:30 because they don't get up until 8 o'clock, or some kind of bullshit, right? The simple little courtesies, I would owe the future the same fucking courtesy. And certainly, if I understood the future was me, that I was going to be born into that future and I would have to live in it. Yeah, I'd certainly be aware of it in the sense of I would be able to do the logic of saying, well, shit, I really don't want to put dioxin in my future water. I mean, if I'm pissing in a stream that's going right to the future, I'd be able to figure out, well, maybe if I'm drinking that water, I don't want to be doing that. Fuck.
And Jan Tellen. What do they believe?
Whoever the fuck that is, right? So, blah, 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 blah. So the joke is this video of hers will probably get more playtime than their videos on the subject.
And how crazy is it? That's what we'll talk about today.
Oh, yeah, sure you will. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, she has this science without the gobbledygook. Groovy. Gobbledygook is such a cool word.
This video was made
possible. Bullshit. Yes, it was made possible because we live in a world of bullshitters and bullshitisms, and you know, it's all over the fucking place. Ugh.
Possible by Squarespace.
Yeah,
that's a platform
that.
On which you can create life today. So you presumably billion years or longer.
Right,
their goal will look like in some billion years they are about donating money. Long-termists are concerned with how our future will look like in some billion years.
So they're comparing it to this effective altruism versus long-termism. And both concepts are valid. you know, I mean, the effective altruism might have something to do with the people that exist today, but it doesn't change the equation or the question that much. So, I mean, I keep using the malaria thing because it's, you know, it just shoves it right in your face in the sense that you have resources to devote to fixing a problem, malaria. So what do you spend the money on? I mean, do you buy the current victim's pills? Do you buy the potential future victims, you know, in the near future, nets? Or do you buy the future, a cure? Yeah. And is there any way to know which one of those you choose? I mean, how exactly do you figure it out without having to do something to say, obviously the cure thing seems like the real money maker for the future. All right, so that seems like the button you really want to hit. But first, you do have to defend in concept the idea that it's within the realm of possibility, that the cure is not going to require you to go to Alpha Centauri to get a special element, you know, and bring it back home to make the cure. So if, you know, the cure just has to be some kind of reasonable prospect that really, we really should be able to do this, you know, before you don't press that button. Anyway. But these aren't questions you can just throw the answer on the... There's the answer. Solved. Shit. No, they're ugly fucking... This is pushing the fat guy off the goddamn bridge, you know, to save the 7 people. This is not some kind of, oh yeah, the answer's just so fucking obvious. No, it requires you to do something that sucks. I mean, there's little fucking kittens out in my fucking yard, okay? And their mother sucks. Stupid bitch doesn't show up very often. And they're way underweight, and they're just heading for winter. They really don't stand a fucking goddamn chance. What the fuck does anybody do about it? Well, let's trap them and put them in cages, and then do surgery on them, and then put them back in a cage, and then nobody will adopt them, and then we'll put them to sleep. I mean, fuck this. Fuck these shitty fucking choices. I'm going to have to keep making shitty choices in the future. I don't want to be in the fucking future. Fuck your future. Fuck any of this shit. You can't manage the fucking world we have now. Why the fuck would you have any... Why would you be for pushing any button that isn't the... Let's just gracefully bury this lob of shit. It's a humiliation to the universe. Let's just dig a hole, slide the shit into the hole, bury it, and be done with it. We are shit. It's a bug planet. Time for the rational, dioxin plan.
Or longer. Their goal is to make sure that we don't go extinct. So stop being selfish, put away that junk food, and make babies.
See, this is a little whiny bitch bullshit that, oh, we have to sacrifice something, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you really should. But why would making babies help the future? That would be the logic. You're just saying, what the fuck? Why should I think that every human being is a huge asset to the future? I mean, there's no logic there. I should make something brilliant and perfect. You know, some robot that kills humans, frankly, would be a better ambition.
Here's a visual illustration of this. Each grain of sand in this hourglass represents 10 million people.
So this is a shitty representation because the future's not in it. All right? This is the past and this is the present. The future's not in the image anywhere. So obviously the future would be just this gigantic thing, huge gigantic thing pouring into the fake analogy. So the present really is just the neck here. That's all the present is. So this is why, this even their analogy breaks. They should have a little arrow to one little dot in the middle of the narrow spot here. One little grain of sand. That's the fucking goddamn present. And everything else is the future, and the future is gigantic. Potentially gigantic, right? I mean, it's really going to be, unless we do it on purpose, extermination isn't likely. But certainly we can turn this into literally a real buggy planet. I mean, pretty quickly. We can break all the civilization, and billions will die, and, smell badly, and all this kind of stuff.
The red grains are those who lived in the past, about 110 billion. The green ones are those alive today, that's about 8 billion more. But that's just a tiny part of all the lives that I...
And who wants to even talk in this silly jackass context? So, I hate to bring in another science reference, but I mean, I do this physics thing and I run into this shit. So there's this guy called Eddington who did this pretty fake experiment back in 1919. And he went to Africa to do this eclipse thing, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the story is, his personal letters, he's writing to, his family. And he's talking about, the wonderful opportunity to go out monkey shooting. And, and so he talks about how one of the plantation owners has a very cute, he has some dogs and cats and the puppies, and they all play together, the monkeys and the kittens and the puppies. But go out monkey shooting. And so he talks about how, they went out monkey shooting, and they came back, and there was one little baby clinging to its mother, and it was so cute, and it did such entertaining and inquisitive things. Yeah, clinging to its dead mother. And all of that's okay. That's fun. That's part of the fun of travel. That's what you need a high-speed train for, so you can zoom over there and do some monkey shooting. Fuck humans.
Yet to come. A conservative estimate is to assume that our planet will be populated by at least 1 billion people for at least 1 billion years.
There's just obviously none of that makes any sense because there's absolutely no evidence that we can handle that prospect, that we won't go into some sort of really pathetic decline where nothing intelligent will survive. Nothing too complicated will survive as a living organism because the resource chain will be so broken.
So that's a billion billion human life years. With today's typical lifespan of 100 years, that'd be about 10 to the 16 human lives. If we go on to populate the galaxy or make...
Right, who needs this stupid argument to just make the simple argument that, like your neighbor analogy, that the future, you can say, is going to have at least 10 more people living in the house next door. There'll be at least 10 more of them. And I shouldn't do anything on this property that becomes a blight for all of those 10 generations to have to live in. So whether it's 10 generations or 100 generations or 1,000 generations, obviously the logic just is, why should I be inconsiderate to the people living next door? Why should I make their life hell for no good reason? Almost on purpose, because I couldn't even give it any thought. I couldn't even give it a thought. Like, I just decided to throw a bunch of plastic in the backyard and set it on fire and create some black smoke that just flew into their house or something. Like, I didn't give it any thought at all. I mean, you know, what exactly about this concern for the future has her so paranoid and afraid?
Maybe even other galaxies, this number explodes into billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Unless we...
So I don't know why the throw in the Trumpism when you could just throw in the Muskism and take the actual quotes from the people actually arguing this crap. Whatever. Ugh, just so depressing. I mean, these people think they're the rational alternative to those morons. Yeah, no, you're not a better choice.
Go extinct. Therefore, the first and foremost priority of long-termists is to minimize existential risks.
No, whatever. So this existential risk, extinction. So existential risk isn't even saying anything. I mean, the risk you're saying is, well, what's our first priority? Oh, survival. Well, that really shouldn't be your first priority. It's not your first priority in your life, right? Your life, you don't sit there and say, I don't care how bad it gets, I want to survive. No, most people don't want to live 100 years with, you know, intense pain all day long and all night long, you know, or some kind of scenario like that. They have limits to what they wish to survive. So that's just a lie to say, oh, it's the first thing you got to do is make sure we survive. No, we have to survive under some minimal, reasonable conditions. And surviving after we've had 49 world wars and, repeatedly pillaged and raped and, caused, untold horror and pain and suffering. You know, gulags and concentration camps and blah, blah, blah. That's not surviving at the minimum standard. Jeez. It's got to be a context here somewhere to what people say.
This includes events that could lead to human extinction, like an asteroid hitting our planet, a nuclear world war, or stuffing the trash so tightly into...
So again, the good news is, I mean, she's talking about all this billions and billions and future, but this asteroid thing is a real thing. You know, because some of them they can't track. There seems a high probability that there will be eventually some sort of big-in. Okay, like the big one that hit Jupiter. You know, Jupiter got hit by a pretty big one. And it only takes something like that to fuck up our atmosphere enough to make, you know, because we all don't have spacesuits, that most of us are pretty well doomed, and the ones that left will be in such a mess that they might not survive.
To the bin that it collapses to a black hole. Unlike effective altruists, long-termists don't really care about famines or floods because those won't lead to extinction.
No, that's not why they don't care. It's because they know when you do the math, okay, in terms of if, you know, it's just you're paying a price for a future benefit. And the fact is that if you do that right, you know, you'll pay a lot less now to prevent the flood. Now, how do you prevent the flood? Oh, you prevent it in the future by not being stupid. So, yes, instead of, you know, spending a fortune to fix the current broken and shitty toasters, you spend the money on making a toaster factory that doesn't make shitty toasters. And the benefit is gigantic. So, yeah, you figure out how not to build your house on sand, you know, on the ocean front. And then you won't get flooded.
Shit. One person who's been pushing long-termism is the philosopher Nick Bostrom. Yes, that's the same Bostrom who believes we live in a computer simulation because his maths told him so.
Okay, well, that's pretty silly and stupid. And I don't know how hard he really believes that, but yes, it's pretty stupid.
The first time I heard him give a talk was in 2008, and he was discussing the existential risk that the programmer might pull the plug on that simulation we supposedly live in.
Right, so another metaphor for a god who, creates a flood and tries to kill all the humans, except for the stupid ones on a boat. I don't know why he saved those 8 people. That was pretty dumb, or whatever it was, 11, I don't know. Noah was already like 500 years old, you know, whatever, but he only had 8 kids in 500 years. Yeah, it's a real true story, yeah. But anyway, so obviously humans have already figured out that, you know, God might say, fuck this. What the hell, was I drunk when I invented this nonsense? Fuck this. What a stupid experiment. Let's just throw it in the garbage. It's not inconceivable as an idea that anyone who created this slop, okay, might have some regrets when they sobered up. Take a pause. All right, just occurred to me to point out again, I'm defending, okay, futurism, or whatever you want to call it, recognizing that the number of days I have ahead of me, okay, are bigger than today. So if I'm going to do something today, I don't want to fuck up all those future days. So I don't want to, even if it seems appealing and I anesthetize myself and all that kind of stuff, there's no point in sticking nails in my eye or something and making myself blind and I have to live the rest of my life blind. That would be really dumb. So, yeah, that's the extent of my long-termism, in the sense that it makes perfectly good sense to recognize you don't want to do things destructive to something that has to endure into the future. Now, obviously, I would argue that the long-term future is basically going to be one where efficiency is important, that's only sensible, and the more you figure it out, the more you figure out that the inefficiency is in our expectations and our desires, and, you know, you just minimize those, that there are people that actually can live on $1 a day. And that makes more sense than having people that need billions of or millions of dollars a day. The person who can, you know, on the least amount be the happiest, that's the winning version of the bug. And you just make more bugs like that, and eventually you make a bug who doesn't need any of it at all. Yeah, and then you're done. And you haven't lost anything, because that bug isn't going to lament, oh, it's so sad that we didn't keep playing baseball. Oh. No, they won't give a fuck, because they almost never even, they can't even remember being stupid enough to get caught up in some silly fucking populist gang, bullshit ritual. The ritual is so retarded, the dance is so fucktarded that they just like, oh yeah, I can give up the fucktard dance. I don't need to do the fucktard dance. Yeah, I'm not losing anything. So eventually the idea is the future will understand it's not losing anything by just saying, fuck it. But it might take a few generations for that meme to win. And so what I thought of was all the satire that is in the world, right? I mean, all the shows are basically satires. They're all mocking human beings and mocking their lack of character and mocking the stupidity. I mean, The Simpsons, South Park, you know, you go through Futurama, you know, you go through all the really funnier bits. And the shots are obvious, and the it's true. The truth of the satire is on its face, valid. And kids will grow up to understand that their parents are morons right from the start. That'll be in the first book they read, you know, the ABC book. And A will be asshole, and it'll be a picture of their mom and dad. And the B will be bitch, and it'll be a picture of her. And the C will be cunt. And you know, it'll be really easy to figure it out that, oh, the problem is the dumbass breeders, the fucktards who couldn't satisfy themselves by playing a game or doing something. No, they had to satisfy themselves by making a sentient being for which they didn't care that much for, because they let it do all kinds of stupid-ass shit, and, you know, it basically got half-destroyed just in its maturation process, because the moron parent was too busy eating their potato chips and watching the fun game, you know, watching their kid fail and going, oh, it's a good life lesson, ha ha ha, you failed. Fuck you, bitch. Anyway, whatever, continuing.
In 2009, he wrote a paper arguing a non-existential disaster causing the breakdown of global civilization is, from the perspective of humanity as a whole, a potentially recoverable setback, a giant massacre for man, a small misstep for mankind.
And not totally untrue, so it's just a fact. So, you know, what's your argument? I could go through all of human history and you found it all justifiable. Okay, Pompeii, I mean, I could go through all the Black Plague, cholera, all the stuff that killed, you know, literally, some of this shit might have killed billions of people. Just the disability alone, common infections, you could argue, you know, the number of people killed by just infections, you know, a little bit of pus or whatever, you know, from a wound. The number's insane. And that's all okay for you. You've accepted all of that shit. You haven't made any commentary about, oh, we have a huge deficit to reclimate. We have to somehow prove that all of that suffering was worth it. You haven't made any of those kind of statements. So what the fuck? These people are saying what you're doing, okay? You're living this fucking cruel statement of benign neglect and not giving a shit about how much was paid for your stupid fucking existence. You know, how many people, you know, what you know, she does wear clothes, you know, of a, you know, she does seem to have an unlimited wardrobe. You know, you don't, how many of those, the kids choking on the, you know, the fibers in the air, and how many of them, you know, died of black lung and all that shit. You don't weep for any of these people, you fuck. So why the hell are you, you know, who the hell are you to judge their cruelty, you know, when you're just as bad?
Yeah, breakdown of global civilization is exactly what I would call a small misstep. But Bostrom wasn't done. By 2013, he was...
So again, what about all the missteps of which obviously in the past, and you haven't demonstrated any ability to learn from the past? So what exactly are we doing now that has any evidence that we don't want to just redo the same mistakes over and over and over again? Bitch.
Rating the value of human lives. We find that the expected value of reducing existential risk by a mere 1 billionth of 1 billionth of 1 percentage point is worth 100 billion times as much as 1 billion human lives in the present.
Okay, so, and again, they can't figure out, you can't do basic math? It just happens to be a truth, okay? So, yes, if you can prevent 1 billion people from dying in a holocaust in the future by holocausting 50 million now, the fact is those are real consciousnesses. The ones you spared are just as valid as the ones that are living now, just as the past ones are just as valid as we would be if we were them, it wouldn't make any difference if you burned it. If you took my clone and did some horrible thing to him in the past, it wouldn't be like I'd say, well, that was totally in the past and who cares? I recognize it as a price my people have paid. So what the fuck are you talking about? Yes, it's just basic math. You don't want to do 2 + 2 math, but I mean, it's 2 + 2 math. I mean, the value of the future consciousness is exactly the same as the value of the present one. Being boiled in oil isn't going to be some different experience 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. Being boiled in oil will be exactly the same experience. So why the fuck is there any argument? If I can boil one person now and save 10 people in the future from being boiled, well, it's just plain fucking logical.
One might consequently argue that even the tiniest reduction of existential risk has an expected value greater than that of the definite provision of any ordinary good.
So why all these words to say something? Yes, it's just a fact. The math adds up, but yeah, do we really want to live in a world that's run this way? That really does say, I'm going to accept casualties. And that's all you're saying. You're saying how much collateral damage will you accept? And you will accept a lot of collateral damage, where I'm arguing that, yeah, maybe we shouldn't accept any. No victim should be imposed upon unless we can defend what we're doing. Can we make anything that's a true good? I mean, really, we're just doing an argument about how much bad. Okay, like, oh, I won't murder you, therefore I've given you a present. No, that's not a present. Not murdering me is not a present. Okay, you can't call that like I now owe you something. Fuck you, I don't owe you anything for not imposing on me. I mean, it's just too stupid.
As the direct benefit of saving 1 billion lives. Hey, math doesn't lie, so I guess that means...
Yeah, so why don't you just stop right there and just say, the fact is that this math doesn't lie, it's 2 + 2 math. I mean, fuck, there's no forky thing in this equation. There's no silly symbol, some ambiguous symbol. No, there's boiled in oil, and all you're saying is if I have a choice between boiling one person in oil or boiling 10 people in oil, which one should I choose? No, that's not hard math to do.
It's okay to sacrifice 1 billion people or so, unless possibly you're one of them, which was improbable.
So again, more totally illogical point, right? Because you're basically, the underlying argument has to be, well, they're all equal. They're not doing the math because they're saying, well, there's a bunch of unequals here. So it's 1 billion nothing, midgets. Versus, 1 billion, Mongolians. There's no qualification to the equation. The equation simply is human, human, consciousness, consciousness, experience, experience. It's all equal.
Lee isn't particularly worried about because he's now director of the Future of Humanity Institute.
And what are you doing? What is your gimmick? What fucking bullshit are you doing? Quantum crapola crap? Some sort of wacky, obscure nonsense. It's less than an actual chess strategy, a pile of physics that goes absolutely nowhere. And you're selling VPNs and other bullshit. Okay, on your fucking videos. That's your brilliant contribution to mankind. So fuck you.
Oxford, where he makes a living from multiplying powers of 10.
Yeah, right. And what do you make a living doing? He's a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Yes, you're all fucking hypocrites.
But I don't want to be unfair.
So you're all shitty examples of shitty human. No, you're all good examples of shitty humans, okay? And so why don't you just acknowledge you suck, he sucks, humans suck, they're just bugs, fuck it. Why am I even suggesting we should do anything to perpetuate suck? Make more bugs so the future can have more cockroaches in it. Fuck that.
Bostrom's magnificent paper also has a figure to support his argument that I don't want to withhold from you. Here we go. I hope that explains it all.
Right, so that was a fair paraphrase. Yeah, so that was really fair. I'm not saying the paper ain't a piece of crap, but if he's just making the simple argument that, yes, 10 people in the future is worth more than one person in the present. It's just a fact. If you can prevent the same thing and it's the only cost is you have to just press the button, okay? Nothing else changes. All you're going to change is one person now or 10 people later. What button do you push? Duh!
By the way, this nice graphic we saw earlier comes from our world in data.
Right, it's not a very good, like I pointed out, a pretty stupid graphic. What the fuck? Okay, so this is the number of people alive today, and there's 10 of those in here. So what? The future is the one we're supposed to be paying attention to, the gigantic, potentially ginormous future.
Which is also located in Oxford. Certainly complete coincidence. Another person who has been promoting long-termism is William MacAskill. He's a professor for philosophy at, guess what, the University of Oxford. MacAskill recently published...
I don't know, so I guess it's an Oxford conspiracy, right? So I guess all of the little colleges probably all have their little pets to themes. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, who cares?
A book titled What We Owe the Future.
So, a nice title, frankly. Not a very good font, but whatever. So what's wrong with that? Yes. What do we owe our neighbor? Yeah, you could write the same book. What do I owe my neighbor? Yeah, I mean, to not realize that we owe each other something is just retarded. We owe them civilization. Okay, and civilization isn't, I'm going to borrow all your money. I'm going to steal all your gold. You know, I'm going to, it's like with fertilizing crops, right? I'm going to lay barren all of your farmland. You know, I'm going to suck all the resources out of it. So there's nothing for you. There's just sand. All I give you is the sand. You know, I mean, obviously we owe them something. Duh. And you're mocking it? Essentially, attempting to mock that theme, which is really fucking stupid. It's a really good, this isn't a thought crime, okay? What we owe the future. These are not, this as a collection of words is not a bad thing to be in people's heads. Just the word owe, even though it doesn't, O-W-E, I don't know, it should be spelled differently. Yeah.
I didn't read the book because if the future thinks I owe it, I'll wait until it sends an invoice.
Oh, so that's her line. I'll wait till it sends an invoice. Oh, that isn't glib, cynical, disgusting, gross, smelly. I mean, just evil almost. I mean, it's almost evil. It's so fucking nihilistic. It's so Nietzsche, selfish, and bullshit, you fucking, you know, she's pretending to be a defender of the meek, you know, and that's just the words to be a glutton and a pig by.
But I did read a paper that MacAskill wrote in 2019 with colleague Hilary Greaves titled The Case for Strong Long-Termism. Hilary Greaves is a philosopher and director of the Global Priorities
Institute. Oh, good, a chick fight.
Institute, which is located in, surprise, Oxford. In their paper, they discuss a case of long-termism in which decision makers choose the option whose effects on the very long-run future are best while ignoring the short-term. In their own words...
Well, you can't choose if you ignore, so that's just kind of a silly statement, right? You're not really choosing if you ignore the choices. So, I guess that, I don't think that was the premise of their argument, or it wouldn't be a very good paper. I mean, it wouldn't survive 10 seconds of my review if their argument is, we chose by ignoring the choices.
The idea is then that for the purposes of evaluating actions, we can in the first instance often simply ignore all the effects contained in the first 100 or even 1,000 years, focusing primarily...
Right. Well, I mean, they're just basically making the argument that there's not enough people in the current Holocaust, so even if we Holocausted all the people now, all 7 billion, we just Holocaust everybody, that frankly, it still doesn't have enough negative value to be greater than the value of what we spared the future, which was many hundreds of those Holocausts. Because we did something to prevent a whole bunch of cholera and plague and world wars and all kinds of stuff that would have added up to more than the total Holocaust. So they're just conceding the point that if you really think we're going to be here 1,000 years from now, even a short number of years, it's a hell of a lot of human consciousnesses at stake. And the simple truth is that the decisions we make could mean the difference between half of those being living in absolute horror. I mean, absolute terrible conditions, radiated world and all kinds of other stuff. So the stakes are really high, and it would be stupid for somebody to pretend they're not. I mean, an irradiated world is a whole different kind of world.
On the further future effects. So in the next 100 years, anything goes, so long as we don't go extinct.
Not anything goes. The whole point is they have to make an improvement. They have to prevent a whole bunch of negative things from happening to justify any inconvenience to the present. So they can't justify inconvenience in the present for not preventing something real, a real threat. A real threat of a possible outcome. An outcome that would be, in fact, inevitable if we could, you know, add up all factor in all of the variables. And we prevented that inevitable outcome by taking one of those variables, the critical variable, and pulling it out. And now the fuse doesn't work on the grenade, and the grenade doesn't go off. Yeah, that's the real circumstance we're in. You want to pretend it's not the real circumstance? It's the real fucking circumstance. That everything we do, all our little butterfly wings are flapping, and what's at stake is the irradiation of billions of people in the future. It's really at stake, okay? You can pretend it's not, but it really is. Those are the real stakes. And what are you defending? Well, let's all just stay being short-sighted, selfish cunts. You know, fuck you. Too silly. I mean, that's how you're coming off, okay? Whether that's your intention or not, well, it just seems like you're just basically saying, we're too important. No, you're not too important. You're just as important.
Was later removed from that paper and can no longer be found in the 2021 version. In case you think this is...
Oh, she got them on that. They revised what they said because they thought maybe that's a little bit too harsh, and so they corrected it. So, that's honest commentary. Let's ignore the fact that, yeah, they recognize what they said might have not been delicate enough or careful enough and clean enough, and so they fixed it, and now you're still complaining. Yeah, it's just such bullshit. All right, well, this is going to take a while, so maybe this will be 5 or 6 videos, but whatever. Yeah, whatever. So whatever, I'll make 5 or 6 videos. Who cares? You know, it's okay with me. You don't have to watch them. You really don't, you know, it's all going to be a little bit redundant, okay? We've already made the argument that we shouldn't, you know, these stupid asshole icons who start conversations or project them or put them into the stream of pop culture, this is not the way to decide what's an important subject or what's the context of the subject or how should we talk about the subject. And all of that crap. I mean, clearly, the expectations of humans has everything to do with what the future has to be. It doesn't need flying cars if I exist in the future. I'm not really interested in flying around in a car. I'm not interested in going to Mars. I'm not interested in a ton of things. So if the future is made out of people like me, it doesn't need any of this bullshit people think it's going to be important to the future. Ugh. So the first conversation should be about, well, what psychology how should we be creating the human beings? And the fact is you maturate the eggs, okay? The eggs hatch, and then you can turn them into assholes, or you can turn them into people who just really don't want to be assholes. They understand, being an asshole would be stupid. Let's not do that. You can have kids who, get broken in maturation, or ones that are empowered by it to have tools to actually be, efficient and functional. So let's first not break human beings by raising them badly. Yeah, that would be maybe a first goal. And then when you try to accomplish that, the point is if you attempt to accomplish making a good human being, you'll figure out, oh, wait a minute, that's a zero sum. Because a good human being isn't going to find living worth it. He's not going to find the high price at all reasonable. All right. You have to be a psychotic like you people. Psycho chasers. Chase, chase, chase. Commercial. Yes, more ads. Yes, put an ad in there. Put one in. Yes. I need more Cheetos. All right. So anyway. So enough. Part one. Blah, blah, blah. So till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's really enough for today. Well, for this moment in time. The future can make more videos. There's more videos in the future than in the present, for sure. But anyway, hit this thing. All right, so this has been a donotgod.com video presentation. And yes, Google's evil, Musk is evil. They're all evil. It's just so much fucking evil. Just living in a cesspool of evil. And there's some question about whether we should project that crap into the future? Yeah, I don't think there should be any question. Anyway, till the next time and such.